Taking too much of time, we are proceeding. We started our series of teachings on eschatology on Thursday, and today is the part two, and we are continuing with this. And those of us that were here on Thursday, I believe that you can see that we are teaching each other. We are learning from each other as we proceed in this teaching. The teaching of eschatology is actually one of the aspects of the Bible that some people consider it to be difficult to understand. But what can make you to understand it is to just be simple enough to take the Word of God as it is, without trying to understand more than you can or more than what the Bible says. If all you know is Jesus is coming back soon, I'm telling you, hold firm unto it. That is knowledge. That is information. And information is what? It's power. When you have this at the back of your heart and you let it drive you day by day that Jesus is coming soon, even when you go to work, when you're at home, when you're dealing with people in business, you will always remember that he is coming soon. And this will be guiding you. On Thursday, we look into the six major stages of the end time event. And for the benefit of those that were not here, we will touch it very, very briefly so we can proceed. When we're talking of the end times, we are talking of major things that will happen that will wrap up this world, and we begin to discover and enjoy and see the things that God has promised those of us that are his, which I believe you are as well. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, when we're talking of the end times, we said there is something that will happen first that will start this whole event of the end time. And what is that? Say it confidently.
Rapture.
Rapture is the first thing that will happen. And I told us that rapture, the word rapture actually is not found in the Bible, but in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, 13 through 17, we see the meaning of the word rapture according to the Greek word. Because the New Testament was written in Greek, and when the Bible says in that chapter 4 of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 16, 17, that the saints on earth will be cut up. The word cut up means in Greek harpazo. It means to snatch away. That is, saints that are alive will be snatched away from this world when the instruction comes from the chief army. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. Understand that, brethren. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves, then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up. See the word. Caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. The concept of rapture, brethren, was not revealed to the Old Testament prophets, because it is a promise to the New Testament church and not to the saints of God who had lived before the establishment of the church. So I used a word on Thursday that was a little confusing. The word rapture is for the New Testament church. In the Old Testament, you will never see it, the word caught up. It is a promise for the church, the called out, the redeemed, those that were called out of the world from after the resurrection of Jesus Christ when the church was established. Amen. The church began, the church age began from after the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. And these are the ones that are going to be presented. When we get further, you will understand it further. The saints of the Old Testament, they too will be resurrected. The Bible says, where we read, that the saints, the believers, the dead in Christ will rise first. They will rise first. And then those of us that are alive will be what? Cut up. It is a mystery. I was saying it on Thursday that you can't even understand whether it's going to be in a slow motion or it's going to be in a fast mode, whatever the case may be, just know that the power of God will come upon you. The power of God will come what? Upon you. And the ability to be caught up will come upon you. It is not something to rehearse. It is not something to practice. When you start practicing to fly, they will need to start praying for you. And you're saying that you are practicing for when it is time for rapture so you can fly. Praise the Lord. When it's time, when the voice of the Lord is released and the trumpet is sounded, the power will come. The dead in Christ will first rise up. And those of us that are alive will be caught up from here. Whether you are driving, whether you are sleeping, whether you are eating, I'm telling you, brethren, that day, if it happened like this in the church, you will see some people still speaking in tongues and rapture are taking place. Because everybody is speaking in tongues today. If a pastor is not in Christ, he will still be there preaching and rapture has taken place. If a driver is of the Lord, he's going to be cut off. And guess what happened to the vehicle? If the pilot is of the Lord, he's going to be cut off. And guess what happened to the thousands of people? There will be chaos all over the world. People will begin to announce their spouses are missing, their children's missing, their families are missing. Then those that are left behind will realize that they are the left behind. Then they will come to their senses that thing is true. It has taken place. If anybody will be saved at that time, they will be saved paying with their own blood. Because they will go through the torture of the Antichrist. When rapture takes place, we read it in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. That immediately rapture takes place, that the saints are gone from this world. The Holy Spirit is gone from this world. The moment the Holy Spirit is gone from this world, the Antichrist will begin to manifest. What is hindering the manifestation? Let's read it for those that are not here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For this lawlessness is already at work out secretly. And it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. The moment you and I are gone from this world, there is no more Holy Spirit. What is making Holy Spirit to be here is because you are here. The moment you are gone, the Holy Spirit is gone, then the manifestation of the Antichrist will begin. Antichrist will reign immediately after the church is gone. So I told us on Thursday, never buy the doctrine that says that you will be here during tribulation. And you will go through it and God will save you. You will be gone as a church, as the saint. Because the Antichrist, the reign of the Antichrist is not for you and I as the church to experience. God is allowing the saints to be removed from this world before he will release the power for the Antichrist to operate. The Antichrist will reign for how many years? 7 years. So the second stage of the end time event is the reign of the Antichrist and the great tribulation. The first 3.5 years of the 7 years of the Antichrist will be peaceful. Because he will make promise. He will try to entice the whole world. He will encourage one world system of operation. There will be promise. There will be agreement. As we begin to hear some things going on now. But immediately after the first 3.5 years, he is going to break the agreement and present himself as the only God to worship. Number 3 stage. What will happen on the 3rd stage is called revelation. Revelation is different from rapture. And we went through the differences between revelation and rapture on Thursday. At least I gave us 5 points. Rapture is different from revelation. At rapture, Jesus is coming in the here, and the saint will meet with him. At revelation, Jesus is now coming with his own, not in the here, on this earth. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, that he's coming in the here. All eyes shall see him. That is when everyone will see him. Not everyone will see during rapture, because he's only coming for the saint. You can listen to the message on Thursday so that you can understand the differences between rapture and revelation. So rapture is Jesus Christ coming for the saint. Revelation is Jesus Christ coming with the saint. Amen? We are all coming. So the coming of the Lord and you and I will bring an end to the operation of the Antichrist. At the end of the 7 years, it's going to be ended by the war called the War of Armageddon. Praise the Lord. When Jesus comes with you and I, he is coming to establish the 4th stage of the end time event. And which is what? The millennium reign. Yes. Those of us that were here on Thursday, be confident. Let them know that you know book. The reign of the millennium reign is the reign of the believers as the kingdom will be established by the Lord Jesus Christ for only 1,000 years. That is not eternity. The 5th stage is considered the final judgment, whereby every inhabitant of the world will now be judged to determine their eternity. And the last stage is what we call the new heaven and the new earth. So today we are proceeding so that we can move forward. We have a lot of things to cover, which we should be ending by the third week of this month. So every Thursdays and every Sundays we'll be going through this. So we're talking of rapture. When the saints are being caught up into heaven, what will be going on? There are two things that will be happening. The first thing is considered the Bema Seat Judgment. This judgment is not for the saints to be, for the sins of the saints to be judged. There is no more sin in you as the saint. The saint, the child of God, the church, because you have been redeemed. And I told us on Thursday, I said, as far as God is concerned, when he's looking at you, he doesn't see sin in you. He's looking at you, he can see what? Jesus Christ. The righteousness that God offered us, that he gave us through Jesus Christ, had made us to be free, to be pure, to be holy, if we can embrace it and begin to walk in the truth. It's not just accepting it. You now have to continue in it. Walk in it. Walking in the truth is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the will of God. Living your life based on the word of God. So the purpose of the Bema's judgment seat is not to punish believers for sins committed, because there is no more sin in you. Don't get me wrong. We miss it, and you will see the Spirit of God in you convincing you. Open your eyes and convict you that what you did, it's wrong. And what do you do as a child of God? According to 1 John chapter 1, 7 to 9. What do? You repent. You confess. And God said, I am just and faithful. I am what? Just and faithful. To what? To forgive you. When you do what? Eh? When you confess, sometimes the Spirit of God can come to you a day after, and say, the way you spoke to your husband yesterday was too mean. You know, as a child of God that has the Spirit of God, Spirit of obedience, Spirit of humility, you know you won't come up with reasons why you should behave the way you. God, you don't understand. He doesn't deserve it. No. When the Spirit of God convicts you, he opens your eyes to the way you reacted to what he did. And that Spirit will help you to accept, to realize, to discover yourself. And immediately, you ask for forgiveness. Lord, I am sorry. The way I spoke, indeed, it was too sharp. I was angry. I was really, really angry. Lord, forgive me. Do you know that right there, he won't remember no more? That's it. So that doesn't mean we don't commit sin as believers. Even right here in this sanctuary, you have committed sin today. True? Some people are looking at me like, Pastor, I didn't talk to nobody. Right there in your thinking. In your thinking, you are in ShopRite right now. Praise the Lord. The moment the Spirit of God convinced, then God said, I am just and faithful to forgive you. So there is nothing like, Lord, the sin we committed, white sin, black sin, the one we know, the one we don't know. No, that's not confession of sin. Some people pray like that. That's not what? That's not confession. There is no confession. If you come now, I say, Ragulefok, bia. I said, forgive me my sins. All my sins, forgive me. It will be like, which one? What did you do? What? Pray for forgive me. Now that's what the Bible said. I said, forgive me. He will be confused himself. He will be wondering, which one? What did you do? I have to, confession is, Bragulefo, yesterday, somebody was talking to me about you, and this is what I said. I am so sorry for what I said about you. Because the Spirit of God reminded me, convinced me that no, what I said about him was wrong. And I confess it. So when you are confessing to God, you are specific. You are specific. And when you are specific, he said, I am just and faithful to forgive you. Let the old church of Orange condemn you. You had confessed. You have been forgiven. And that's what matters to God. Please be seated. He said, I will not what? Remember no more. As far as God is concerned, that's it. Case closed. So if you now come, if you don't take Holy Communion, you better tell them so that they can give you. It's not too late yet. Praise the Lord. So when the saints are gone, get it right, brethren. Two things will be happening. On this earth, there will be 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation that people will go through. But the saints in heaven, the church, are going through two things. The Bema Seat Judgment and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. So the first one is the Bema Seat Judgment. And I told us that the Bema Seat Judgment is not for God to judge your sin as believers. No, we are not being raptured with sin. Mm-mm. There is no sin. It is the judgment to be rewarded. What you have done with what has been given you, the reward that you will receive. So your account will be open. And we will go through this. I want to tell us very briefly, like 10 things that will be judged at the Bema Seat Judgment for believers. The first one I want us to read, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by what? Caring for other believers as you still do. Brethren, the first thing at Bema Seat of Judgment, how we treat other believers will be judged. Amen? Do you see? Turn to your neighbor. Those are your brothers, your sisters. How are you treating them? All believers will make heaven. But there are some judgments. Things we do with the people God puts in your way. The saints. You know, when God brings people your way, there is a reason for it. He wants you to bless them. He wants them to bless you. He brings people our way so that we build each other. That is why we have to be careful how you're treating believers. I said, look at your neighbor, right? Can you look at them again? That's your neighbor. Treat them well. Can you tell him, treat me well? Praise the Lord. I want us to read that scripture again, please. Let us read it again. For God is not what? Unjust. He will not forget. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him. And it means that it's not easy to care for others. See, the Bible, God, he said, God will not forget how hard. It means it is not a cheap labor. Tolerating each other. Giving room for each other. Enduring for each other. It means your next neighbor that you just look at, that you smile with, can hurt you. And God is saying that, I will not forget how hard you work to accommodate. Because when strangers hurt you, it won't matter. But when your family hurts you, it gives you pain. It enters your body. You'll be like, ah! You feel it. God will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. I'm going to rush this session. The second thing that will be judged at the Bema seat, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. James chapter 3, verse 1. I want to bring the two together. James chapter 3, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. The second thing that will be judged, how we exercise our authority over others. How we exercise our authority over what? Others. Once you have been called, the Bible says, if more is given to you, more is what? Expected. To whom much is given, much is expected. So as you walk in this journey, as workers in the church, as leaders, head of ministries, assistant head of ministries, cabinet, you are a leader. You are a leader. You are teaching. Sunday school teachers, you are teaching. We are servant leaders. And those of us that have been called out to lead others, to serve others, will be judged more strictly. So we have to be careful how we exercise our authority. When you are a leader, know that you are a servant. Amen? When you have that at the back of your heart, that you are not a leader to dominate, but you are a leader to serve, your ministry will have impact. Your ministry will reach each. Because that is the calling. And God is observing all this as you are leading, as you are directing people, if you are bossing them, if you are encouraging them, if you are comforting them, if you are upholding them, if you are defeating them, if you are discouraging them, all these things matters. A lot of people will make heaven, but with no reward. Did you understand what I say? Making heaven, sure, will make heaven. But when it comes to how you use your authority over the people that God has put under you, knowing that once you are a leader, I say you are what? A servant. You might be leading people even older than you. God has made them your babies. You have to tend them. You have to carefully care for them. They can insult you. You know how you carry baby? Baby will poops on you. When baby poops on you, do you throw the baby out? I said, don't use... I just bought this suit and I carried you. See what you did? And you just throw the baby out. No. What do you do with the baby? You clean the baby. You change your suit. And tomorrow, carry the baby again. If you say, I'm not carrying you again. Yesterday, you pooped on me. how we exercise our authority. Number three, how we employ our God-given abilities will be judged. How we employ our God-given abilities will be judged. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. We must steer the Spirit of God and the gift of God in our lives. Listen, brethren, if God puts gifts in you and you occupied yourself and you shrink the gift that God has given you, you did not make profit with it, it is a waste. This will be judged. That is why we must be available. Everybody say available. The word available means a lot in achieving, in expanding, in utilizing the gift, the talent that God has given us. Don't think it's a magic that we just come. You have to steer it up. You have parts to play, roles to play in steering up the gifts, the abilities that God has given you. There is a reason why He singled you out and gave you a talent. Some people's talent is ability to organize, to plan, to coordinate, and they will do it well. Some people, their own gift is ability to speak and encourage people. By the time they speak to people, man, everybody are working. You know, some people have that gift. Yeah. They know how to talk to people. Somebody talked to them before. Everybody complaining. I'm not doing it. But when they bring you, by the time you finish talking, they are smiling and they are doing. Make yourself available, because this will be judged. Make yourself available. You can sing, make yourself available. You can be an usher, make yourself available. Don't say, me, I just want to be in that. I just want to hear the word of God and carry my Bible and go. You must be useful. How we'll employ, how we utilize our talents, our abilities will be judged. Number four. Hey, this is very nice. How you use your money will be judged. Amen? Yeah, it is my money. It is my money. It is not your money. You are a caretaker. The money is put in your charge, under your care, and God is observing and is documenting and is recording how you're using the money. A lot of believers are very stingy. Very. For anything to come out of them to others, you will have to fast. And they can sing the song, my hands are blessed with the blessings of God. Anyone I touch. And they won't touch nobody. How can you be singing, your hands are blessed, anyone you touch will be blessed, will be surely blessed? When was the last time you touched somebody? Ask yourself the question. You're waiting for when you will have money. You have. You what? You have. That you have is enough for God to use. Believers today don't see others but themselves. They don't see others but what? When they don't need more shoe, they buy. When they don't need more clothes, they buy. And they like it when everybody are saying that, wow, you look good. It gives them joy. They feel so special.
They feel so important. And it doesn't matter about others. The Bible says, cast your bread on many waters. On waters. After many days. Does that make sense? You see somebody carry their food and pouring food on waters. Rivers. Throwing back rice, beans. Do you know the meaning of that? As you're throwing those food on waters, the river is carrying those food to some people. Anybody that sees you at that time will think you are crazy. You are wasting food. That is, give as somebody that is not thinking like a human being would think, because you are under an influence. Instruction of the Holy Spirit. Give the way that is not reasonable to people. It says, after many days, you see all those food you gave, God stored them ahead. By the time you walk down, they are waiting for you. And when you throw food on waters, by the time you see the food, what happened to them? Boom. They are multiplied. Big, expand, increase. If you are the one that doesn't give, nobody benefits from you. And you are a believer, speaking in tongues. You're making heaven, sure, but change. Amen? Yes, give. Give. I said it one time. I said, when somebody is sick, you know, back home in Nigeria, when somebody is sick, what do? We buy Bonfita, Milo, milk, glucose, D, glucosade, Ribena, everything. We carry everything. You go to the hospital or to their house, and you give it to them, right? And they will thank you forever. You didn't give up. You didn't what? Why did I say that? You gave only because he's sick. Why don't you just come to church with all those big bags and just drop it? Okay, not you. To me. I was going to come to Sister Gulef. And you just say, Pastor Victor, this is for you. I will keep thinking, was I sick? No. What happened? See how you bless me? Make me wonder. And I will be thanking God. So you gave not because of anything around me, but because you were led. Somebody gave a man a shirt one time and he said, is it Christmas yet? He said, no, it's not Christmas. Because he was surprised. Why are you giving me a shirt? He said, I just gave you. It means a lot at that time to that man. He thought it was Christmas. Am I missing something? It wasn't Christmas yet. He kept thinking about it for days. For days. That blessing touched him. You know, God can open your eyes to people around you and see their need. It's not for you to talk about it. It's for you to act about it. Amen? It's not for you to talk about it. It's for you to what? For him to open your eyes to that need, he has given you the ability to meet that need. Only if you will respond. And if you don't want to respond, heavenly race, I won't be tired. You just want to make heaven. You will make heaven, but this will be judged how you mismanage the resources that was given to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 to 19. You can just write it down. Number 5. Matthew chapter 5, 11 and 12. How much we suffer for Jesus will be rewarded. Matthew 5, 11 to 12. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sort of evil things against you because what? You are my followers. See, when we are talking of suffering for Jesus, it's not like to say let them kill you instead of killing Jesus. Nobody can die for Jesus. He already died for us. But to give up your right in order to maintain peace, to give up your right to keep quiet in order to allow peace to reign for the sake of the name of Jesus, in order to make others to be happy, in order to encourage others, in order to edify others, so you sacrificially give. Anything that you give that did not cost you nothing is not a gift. Praise God. Anything that you what? That you give that did not cost you. And when I say that cost you, means that you put your situation aside to accommodate, to encourage, to tolerate. The Bible says give allowance for each other. Give what? Allowance for each other. What does that mean? That is when my sister comes and say all he has to say, I won't look at her as, she's very, very evil. I will look at her as, that is her stage. I will accept all she did by not relating back in the same manner. Amen? Not that I condone what she did, but I will not what? Pay back. Do the same thing. That is what the Bible says, do not pay evil with evil. Okay, he did not greet you. Call him. Call him. And greet him first. But if you say he did not greet you and you two took off your eyes, praise God. All these things look petty, but means a lot when we are talking of believers and what will be judged. If you are sleeping, shout hallelujah.
Say if you are honest, it will be judged. And you're sleeping, you didn't shout hallelujah. I'm looking at you.
Praise God. So don't sleep again. Number 6, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. How we spend our time will be judged. Amen? How we spend our time. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians chapter 4 verse 5. Walk in wisdom. Redeeming the time. As believers, our time is not our time no more. We must use our time wisely. We must use our time what? Wisely. Colossians chapter 4 verse 5. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. When God put people next to you, before the time is over, make use of that time. Touch them because they will not be there forever. Amen? Let me repeat it. When God put people around you, make the most of that opportunity at that time. To do what? To touch them. To invest in them. Because you will not have that time forever. Don't let it be at the last minute before you realize and wake up. Your time will be judged. What you do with it. How we run that particular race which God has chosen for us will be judged. How we run that particular race which God has chosen for us will be judged. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians
chapter 9, verse 24. How we run that particular race which God has chosen for us will be judged. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to what? To win. Brethren, let that be your goal. Run to win. Run to win. Run to win. It is very, very important. That is number 7, right? Yes, number 7. Number 8. How effectively we control the old nature will be judged. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 through 27. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. 26. So I run with purpose in every step. See that? I like that. I run with what? With purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Don't let us take it for granted. We must continually disciplining, controlling ourselves. God has given us the power to control ourselves as we are running this race. Don't just think you can say anything. Control yourself. Don't just think you can go anywhere. Control yourself. Don't just think you can eat anything. Control yourself. Don't just think you can do anything. Control yourself. I discipline my body like an athlete. You see the people that are doing sports and all that, you know, they deny themselves. They go to the gym. They work out. They know what to eat, what not to eat. When everybody are eating and drinking and all that stuff, you know, they refrain themselves because they have a purpose. There is something, there is a target. There is a reason driving them. There is something they are working on. As a believer, we must continually disciplining ourselves, controlling our body so that we are training it to do what it should do. Otherwise, it's dangerous. You know, when somebody thinks they can just eat anything, eat anywhere, then they will realize it. Then they will get it. So it is very, very important that we take note of this. How effectively we control ourselves is important. Number 9, how many souls we witness to and win for Christ will be judged. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, that the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Witnessing is not only when you carry your Bible and you walk up to somebody and you say, I want to share Jesus Christ with you. Do I have a minute? You are witnessing even with your daily life. You are witnessing the way you relate with people, non-church members, church members, people at your place of work, people that comes your way. They must see your transparency. They must see your honesty. People should love to walk for you and walk with you. And they will know that you will not dupe them. They will know that you will take care of them. They will know that you will be sincere. They will know that there will be honesty in dealing with you to do business, in partnership with you.
When people sees you, when people see you, they should have that peace of mind and settle down around you without panicking, without being worried. This is very, very important. This is witnessing. Because when they see something in you, they will want to get closer to you. So our life should be attracting people to get closer unto us, so that when they get closer to us, then they will discover the source of our life. And then you will know that knowing Jesus is contagious. When you know him and people contact you, they too will know him. Amen. That is the way it should be. And we should be reproducing Christ in our lives, in our living, in our relating with others. You know, it's not only when we are in evangelism ministry. Of course, we should join that ministry. Our ministry is evangelism, whether you are in that department or not. We are all called into the work of ministering, preaching, reflecting the image of Christ at all times with the people that comes in contact with us. It's not only when we come on that third Saturday and we go out and we're giving tracts. When you're done giving tracts, what did people see in you? So it's a continuous living. Continuous living. So you don't witness Christ only when you come to go out in twos, and when you are done, you back to your own self. No, no, no. You continue. You continue to witness. You continue to witness. Do you know that some people can watch you, and watching you, just watching you not even talking to them, can really change their lives, convince them, open their eyes, I want to be like you. And there will be genuine conversion of soul, because they have taken time to observe you, and all they can see is, man, you are real. Number 10, how we react to temptation. How we react to temptation. You know, as believers, we go through challenges. It's not that once you come to Jesus, everything is fine. Everything is fine indeed. The Bible says these two shall pass. It means something will happen. But it will what? Pass. It will pass. It will pass. Temptation comes in diverse ways as believers. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. James 1, 2, 3, and 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it what? An opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. See that? It's not too cheap, but it's reality. When temptation comes, when challenges comes, it's an opportunity for you to grow. It is not the time to begin to look at yourself, that what have you gotten yourself into? God, where are you? Where are you? A woman was shouting one day out of anger that, God, where was you? I need to see your face. What were you doing when they arrested my son? When they threw my son in the jail, what were you doing, God? You know what the pastor told her? God was where he was when Jesus was arrested. When things happen, how we react to it matters as a child of God. At that time, you should be praying for yourself for the grace of God to help you to stand, so that you will not react and curse God. It's an opportunity for us to grow. Verse 4. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, see that, when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and what? Complete. And then needing nothing. See those three things. But it doesn't come cheap. If a student refuses to take examination, he can never be promoted to the next class. Those of us that are teachers, if somebody didn't come for the exam, do you just promote them? No. You have to repeat. You have to repeat. Some lazy students, it is during exam they always sick. That's why they will tell the parents they don't want to go to school. They have cough, have a headache. Then when it is time for promotion, you stay where you are. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, number one, let's read it, you will be perfect. Everybody say it. Number two, and complete. And number three, then you will need nothing. You will need nothing. Let me give us two more before we close. How much the doctrine of the rapture means to you. Can you believe that? That will be judged too. You see this teaching of rapture we're talking about? How it means to you will be judged. So it's an important aspect of the doctrine of the Bible that God wants us to know and remember and understand it. Basically, rapture means the coming of the Lord. So what we are saying here is how much the coming of the Lord means to you will be judged. Do you know that a lot of Christians, when they hear rapture, they hold their chest? See, my brother say yes. That's true. They become so scared. They become so afraid. They become so nervous. You should be praying for his coming. Tell your neighbor, pray for his coming. Yes, pray for his coming. It is important. Pray for his coming. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says that, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, listen, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Think about his coming. Pray about his coming. Love is coming. Look forward for it. When you look forward towards his coming, it helps you to remain well prepared. And lastly, how faithful we are to the word of God, and the flock of God will be judged. How faithful we are to the word of God, and the flock of God will be judged. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, 2 to 4. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to what? To serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own, what? Good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. And honor. Brethren, we must live the life of the word. We must faithfully live the life of the word of God and take care of the flock that God has put around us. And I've told you to look at your neighbor. Those are the flocks. Those are the people God has blessed you with to take care of them. So if there is someone that you had looked into now that you don't talk to, talk to them before we share the grace. Talk to them before you go home. Hug them. If you don't know what to say, just say, because of the preaching of today. I pray the Lord will help us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.